So looking back at some of these insane recipes, we have a bunch of them. And Esmeralda, you're looking at some of these, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so the first one that I'm looking at, and by the way, if you want to see these, we have the link on our Facebook page. You really, some of them you really need to see. Like, for instance, the first one is liver sausage pineapple. Now, those should not go, those words should not go together. Liver sausage is fine. I love liver sausage, but liver sausage pineapple. It's from 1953's Better Homes and Gardens new cookbook. It is liver sausage covered in jello and mayo, molded into a pineapple shape and studded with olives. And if you see this thing, it's, I mean, again, jello, Esmeralda, involved.
Why?
For no specific reason. I don't know, but this is like one of the weirdest things. So
I'm curious what flavor jello.
My guess, now they had in the, I don't know if they still have it, but you know, they used to have vegetable flavored jello. They had like celery. I'm trying to remember what they had, but they had, there were different vegetable flavored jellos, and a lot of those were used for when savory recipes called for jello for whatever reason. But you really got to get a look at this. It's liver sausage covered in jello and mayo, and it looks like a pineapple, and there's olives all over it. It really looks weird and disgusting. 1953 Better Homes and Gardens. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. If you have any weird foods or weird recipes or weird meals that you used to eat, join us, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and we'll jump to it right after the news. Triple Play Thursday, everybody. Yeah, man. Yeah. Jesse requesting, for some reason, Linkin Park, Breaking the Habit. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Skip Skipley is on his way, correct, Dan? Have we sent out the pigeons and the homing penguins?
They are both en route.
Okay, there we go. So we got a pop-up video coming up. So the cats on the streets, get ready. Dave Ennett with your psychic army of felines. Get ready. That's all coming up right here on WGN. Plus, I've got a three-question personality test for Esmeralda and Dan. But right now we're talking about really terrible old-school recipes because for some reason in the 50s and 60s especially, there were a lot of recipes that were just weird. And the next one, Esmeralda, that we're looking at here is the tuna and pear pizza, which looks disgusting. The black globs on this so-called pizza are pickled walnuts. The spokes on the little wagon wheel design are anchovies, but the insanity continues with the sauce, which has pears and tunas mixed into it. Pears and tuna.
So it is pizza. Like, that's bread under it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A dough crust.
Yeah, it is. I guess you bake it. I mean, there's a rack. It's on top of a baking rack in the picture. I mean, that's disgusting. That is that's completely disgusting.
Never thought to make pear and tuna.
No, I've never mixed.
Combo.
I've never made that a combo. I've had each, and I enjoy each separately. But I've never had them together, especially in pizza form with anchovies. Yeah. So, although I guess, I mean, anchovies and tuna, I mean, that's, you know, I guess that's, you know, a combination that could be okay.
I mean, it's fish and fish.
Yeah. So, do you like anchovies, Esmeralda?
I've never had one whole or in its entirety. I've only
used them in recipes.
Cooked. Yeah, I've only cooked with it. Yeah. And that
usually
just disappears.
Well, you can kind of melt them off. Yeah, you just melt them, yeah. They're not good on pizza. Dan, have you ever had anchovies on pizza?
I have not.
Yeah, they're it's not good. very salty, by the way, like ridiculously salty. And that's why you, for many recipes, that's why they're added, for a salt taste. So, all right, here's Jill on WGN. Hi, Jill.
So we got my sister-in-law this recipe book that had, like, recipes through the decades.
Yeah.
And one of the ones, awful ones that really sticks out is an appetizer from the 1910s where it's celery sticks that you cover with mayonnaise and then you stick popcorn on them.
What? What?
And it said, like, these were served at, like, socialite gatherings and such.
Really? Really? So big, fancy functions, people are eating celery with mayonnaise and popcorn.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Gross.
That is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Now, how far back did these recipes go that you got this cookbook?
It was, like, it had all these recipes from, like, Better Homes and Gardens. It had, like, from all the years. I wish I could remember the title of it.
Yeah.
But it was really funny.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. And we've got all of the recipes that we've been talking about and will be talking about. They're all on our Facebook page. It might be the same. I'm sure some of those recipes are probably included. So you might want to check it out.
I will.
All right, Jill. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
There's some fancy schmancy appetizers right there, Esmerella. Celery stick, mayonnaise, and popcorn. Oh, man. And that is relatively cheap. You can get celery for 2 cents. Mayonnaise, get a big jar of mayonnaise. Popcorn, go nuts. Impress all your friends. All right, how about the next one? The Glace Fish Mold. This is from 1943's 300 Timely Fish Recipes. It's flaked fish served inside, Esmeralda, plain jello, molded into the shape of a fish. However, it's the veggies that really send this one over the edge. There are raw cucumbers, green peppers, and onions inside the thing, raw onions and jello. So it's like the saddest, weirdest tuna salad that you've ever had. And again, you have to see this thing to believe it.
I'm wondering what's giving it that red all over color. Because plain jello, I looked it up. I mean, plain jello is just gelatin.
Yeah, it's gelatin. That's all
it is. So how, I'm wondering, what did they, if it was just food coloring?
Probably, maybe, yeah.
Or if they used some flavor.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's just weird. That's all I know. And it looks so elegant. Isn't it elegantly presented?
I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
I like the whole fish mold.
I don't think I'd eat it.
Yeah, the inside doesn't sound good.
No. It sounds disgusting.
Like its guts are just cucumbers and peppers.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. How about this one? This next one, man. This is a good one. It's the cranberry candle salad. You'll start a whole new holiday tradition from Hellman's. This is a mold of cranberry sauce, mayonnaise, and jello. Again, with a birthday candle sticking out of it. Just when you think it can't get any grosser, the recipe recommends garnishing it with even more mayonnaise, which makes sense since the recipe comes from a 1960 Hellman's advertisement. And again, it looks weird. So you stick a birthday candle in there, and And that's the fantastic canned cranberry, which, why would you coat that in mayonnaise and jello? I mean, mix it all together? That's disgusting. And I guess the cool part is because you're going to stick a candle in it and then a birthday candle in it. And that's going to start a whole new tradition, Esmeralda. I think it's going to start a whole new holiday tradition at your house.
I wouldn't even know how to eat that.
I guess you just dig in with a spoon. Blow out the candle and then dig in with a spoon. And garnish with more mayonnaise. All right. Next one is the Californian Jell-O ring. Again, Jell-O. This nightmare from Marguerite Patton's recipe cards from 1967 requires some explanation. It features in the middle vanilla ice cream. On top of the ice cream are boiled prunes for decoration. The bottom is prune-filled Jell-O surrounded by orange slices. Believe it or not, Patton included an alternate recipe that is actually worse. She suggests using tea instead of water when you make the Jell-O. Oh, my God. Again, seeing these things, you got to see it to believe it.
That one's hideous.
Oh, yeah, completely.
The color is disgusting.
It's disgusting. I mean, it looks horrifying. And then, I guess this is a, this, so it's called the Californian Jell-O ring. So it's, this is a California thing. Is that what it is? They enjoy vanilla ice cream and prunes in California. Okay. And the prunes are for decoration, by the way. So maybe you shouldn't eat them.
Oh, that's garnish.
Yeah. Okay, here's the next one. The molded beef ring. But here's another thing, Esmeralda. Man, people really like to garnish with olives in those days.
I mean, you know, yeah. A pop of color is all you need.
Yeah. From Farm Journal's Country Cookbook, 1959, this is beef set in gelatin with fun ketchup stripes around the crown of pimento olives. The cookbook says it will always bring peace of mind when company's coming. So you stick some beef and some gelatin, squirt some ketchup on it, slice up some olives. There you go. You got yourself a molded beef ring, which really sounds appetizing, doesn't it? What's for dinner, honey? The molded beef ring. We'll be having the molded beef ring. That used to be my radio name in college. Yeah, molded beef ring. Yeah. So. All right, more of these disgusting recipes coming up. If you have any that you remember from your days, or if you've got an old cookbook laying around, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. And, yeah, it is a Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Jesse, Somewhere I Belong, and that is Linkin Park. And we're talking about bad recipes, like just like weird old school recipes. For some reason, people enjoyed much Jell-O and much mayonnaise in there. In the 50s and 60s. And again, we've got another mold. They like to, Esmeralda, they like to mold things and enjoy Jell-O and olives. That's the thing we're learning here, I think.
I mean, it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. It's the shrimp salmon mold. This is from Weight Watchers International Recipe Cards series from 1974. It raises many questions. Why is it asking you to use buttermilk if you're using real buttermilk? Why bother with imitation butter flavoring? And why do you need 3 drops of yellow food coloring? Why would you add vanilla extract to shrimp and or salmon? And it's served lovingly on a bed of lettuce. And there's parsley on the plate as well. And they have little eyes, the mold. Can you tell what the eyes are made from?
It's probably red pepper.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's all about mold and Jell-O. Okay, here's next one. The cottage cheese ring. Fan of cottage cheese, Esmeralda?
I enjoy cottage cheese. Not this one, though. Ugh.
I love cottage cheese. I love cottage cheese. Dan, you a fan of cottage cheese?
Not especially.
No? I had a friend who would put sugar on his cottage cheese. And I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? So basically, you shape cottage cheese into a ring and then put in a vegetable medley on top of a bed of lettuce. It looks like a bowl of dog food. Dog food in a bowl made of cottage cheese. But instead of kibble, your guests get vegetable salad medley and marinated mushrooms all on a bed of lettuce that no one is eating.
How much lettuce were housewives buying that they weren't eating?
That's the thing. They were probably going through lettuce like crazy in the 50s. Coming home with 6-7 heads of lettuce just for 2 evenings. So, shape cottage cheese into a ring. So basically, you just take cottage cheese and just... What do you do? Stick it in a mold and then turn the mold upside down? Doesn't the cottage cheese just kind of fall apart? So, okay, that's disgusting. Oh, I like the name of this one. This next one? The Ham Loaf Superb. That's the best name ever. ham loaf superb. This meat-packed monstrosity is from Betty Crocker's Holiday Cookbook, 1983. It's ground ham, beef, and lean pork baked into a superb loaf using tomato juice, eggs, and quick-cooking oats. On top is sliced cheese, like normal people who would put on a sandwich. It's served on a bed of a million peas. See, now, I'd eat this. I would totally eat this. Esmeralda, would you eat that?
Yeah.
Oh, I would totally.
It doesn't sound that bad.
Oh, man, come on. It's just kind of like a meatloaf with three different kinds of meat. It's just got cheese on top of it, and instead of breadcrumbs, they're using oats. It's just a, you know, kind of a weird presentation. You know what I like about the presentation, Esmeralda? The pine cone. I think that's a really nice touch. Is that required? Do you have to have a pine cone on the table?
Well, if it's in your centerpiece.
One of the many details about Twin Peaks, the last season, this most recent season of Twin Peaks that just ended, was that in the Roadhouse Bar, when they would have a band play every episode, they'd be introduced by the MC, and for some reason, I still don't know why, there's a pine cone on the microphone. There's no reason. Just one of the many weird, off-putting details of Twin Peaks. You're just watching it, and it's like, oh, okay, why? I don't understand why there's a pine cone sticking through the microphone. I don't understand that at all, but... This is David Lynch, so I guess there's a reason why there's a pine cone on the microphone. I can never figure it out. All right, how about the barbecue salad? It's the best new recipe in the magazine. According to this advertisement, this spicy yet cold Jell-O pairs nicely with wilted lettuce and hard-boiled eggs. The recipe was found in a 1953 copy of Life, suggesting to spice it up even more with Worcestershire or onion juice. So it's essentially tomato aspic. It's a one package of lemon or orange Jell-O, one can of 8 ounce can of tomato sauce, salt, pepper, vinegar, and hot water. For extra spiciness, you can add onion juice or Worcestershire or horseradish. How about that, Esmeralda? Now, would you? That's basically like.
I don't think that's so bad. I don't understand where the barbecue comes from.
That's true.
Why is it barbecue salad? Like to bring to a barbecue?
I guess. I mean, it's tomato sauce, but that's not necessarily barbecue.
And then, how do you eat it?
Like Jell-O.
Right, but you just eat it as is.
No, you have to add Worcestershire or onion juice.
Other than eggs?
Hard-boiled eggs and lettuce. That's what you do. Slice off a nice spicy tomato-y slice of Jell-O. And then alternate bites of that with hard-boiled eggs and lettuce. It sounds delightful to me. It sounds delightful, especially after some celery stalks with mayonnaise and popcorn. I think that's the good second course there, is the barbecue salad. But again, you're absolutely right, Esmeralda. There's nothing barbecue about it. And I would really, you know, and looking at this ad from Life magazine, I would really love to see the other recipes in this book if this is the best new recipe in the magazine, as they say. What do you think the other recipes are? I mean, if this is the best recipe in the book, my God. Now we got some texts coming in. 312 area code says, I remember seeing a recipe in an old Chicago Daily News cookbook for liver pudding. It was casserole of ground liver, barley, and onions served with some grape jelly. Sounds awful, but it was quite tasty. Um, 331 area code says, not a recipe, but my granddad always dipped his cheeseburger in hot chocolate. Yuck. What? Dipped his cheeseburger. So did he only eat cheeseburgers in the winter? Was cheeseburger a seasonal food for your grandfather? Like at barbecues in the summer? No, can't eat a burger. No hot chocolate. Got to wait till November to have my first burger of the season. Chris says, text. By the way, you can text or call in Weird Recipes, Weird Food, 312-981-7200. Chris says, my dad's friend would put gravy on cottage cheese.
I mean, gravy makes everything better.
Yeah. I think that's more acceptable than sugar, I have to say. Wouldn't you say, Esmeralda? I mean, sugar on cottage cheese, there's just something wrong with that. But my friend was a lunatic. He put sugar on everything. Then he'd jump around, hopped up on sugar juice. So, gravy on cottage cheese. I don't understand. I mean, cottage cheese is essentially just a milky dairy product. So, I don't know. Okay, that's weird.
By the way, the texter says all year round, his grandfather.
Oh, all year round.
All year round.
Imagine he's at a barbecue. He's like, I need some hot chocolate, kids.
I can't.
Ketchup, mustard, hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate. That's pretty great.
I wonder, did it always have to be hot? Because, I mean, a milkshake,
dip it in a milkshake.
The same, yeah. Just cold.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have a break here. We got the news coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah. 713 area code requested Bad Finger. That's day after day. We're talking about really horrible and weird food recipes, and then I'm going to give a three-question little personality quiz to Esmeralda and Dan, and that'll be coming up in a few minutes. And then Skip Skipley is on the way, and we will have another edition of Pop-Up Video, so get your cats ready. It's all coming up. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're going through these really terrible, weird-looking recipes from the old days. And by the way, all the recipes that we're talking about, you can see the recipes and you can see the pictures on our Facebook page. And many of these things, these recipes, have to be seen to be believed. So like us on Facebook now and check it out, facebook.com/NickDShow. Okay, next. Boy, this one's a doozy, Esmeralda. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Ham and bananas hollandaise. Oh, my God. I mean, please. No list of disgusting vintage food is complete without ham and bananas hollandaise from McCall's Great American Recipe card collection from 1973. It's like the Citizen Kane of gross vintage recipes. Basically, you substitute bananas for eggs. Apparently, it pairs nicely with grapes and a tossed salad, if the picture is to be believed. So, essentially, you got ham, you got hollandaise, and instead of eggs, you have bananas. I can't imagine how disgusting that must taste. I mean, would you even try that, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I would try it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's unedible.
Well.
It's just food.
Yeah, but still. I mean, that, you know, I'm not a very picky eater at all. Put something in front of me, I'll probably eat it. But, man, I would have a hard time scarfing this one down. I like the ham and the hollandaise. That's fine. But the banana thing, and it just looks disgusting. Okay. How about this one? Chopped chicken liver pate. This is a weirdly tarted up pate recipe from the Complete Family Recipe Card Library of 1973. On top of that pate is a floral arrangement made of various foods. You cut carrots into flower shapes, green onion slices as pollen, and celery leaves as the stem, all suspended in gelatin. What's the thing next to it, Esmeralda, with the cherry tomatoes? What is that?
Apparently it's cauliflower.
Is that cauliflower?
Yeah.
Is that cauliflower? Again, gelatin. You know? That's the thing. How do we survive now? How do we have recipes? How do we make meals now without using Jell-O in every single recipe? How is that possible?
Real gloopy. Nothing to suspend them.
No. All right. Next one is cottage cheese and salmon mold. Again, molds, gelatin. At first glance, especially from the side, it looks like a cake. Nope, it features hard-boiled eggs and raw cucumbers suspended in cottage cheese, mayo, and salmon-filled jello. I mean, that's disgusting. How do you eat that? You just slice it off like a cake, Esmeralda? Is that how you do it?
I guess so.
Yeah?
I always imagine this kind of stuff you would eat maybe like that cake, the pate cake you would eat with crackers.
Right.
But I mean, then I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around eating the jello. Because you'd be, I'm assuming, eating it as a meal.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a salad on the table, so that would be your side dish. So this would be your meal. So a nice big thick slice of that. Make sure everybody gets a piece of hard-boiled egg because there's only three of them in there. Well, actually, there's... Well, wait a minute. That's just 1.5 eggs. Where'd the other half... Where'd the other half of the egg go?
Chef got to eat it. It's the chef's treat.
Because there's three half hard-boiled eggs in there. So the chef got to eat it. Because he didn't want to eat the rest of the stuff. I'm just going to eat this egg. You guys can have the mousse and the mold. Okay. Okay. Creamed eggs in corned beef crust. Creamed eggs in corned beef crust. This is from 1965's Happy Living, a guidebook for brides. It has a pie crust made with white bread and flaked corned beef filled with mushroom soup, cream, and hard-boiled eggs. See, I'd eat this.
It's not that bad.
No, I would totally eat this.
I'd want this with crackers.
I would totally eat this. Let me explain something about the fantastic Campbell's mushroom soup. You can do so much with Campbell's mushroom soup. Cream of mushroom
like
soup.
Like this lovely pie.
I love the cream of mushroom soup. My mom has a recipe where she uses the cream of mushroom soup and some milk, and she browns a bunch of onions and green peppers, and then she cooks pork chops and then lets it simmer in the sauce, and like the cream of mushroom sauce. And she made that when I was a kid. It's like my favorite meal. But you know, you got to use the classic can of cream of mushroom soup. Trucker Rich said, I asked my mom and grandma why everything had Jello, and they said it was a good filler when they were rationing during the war. Oh, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Okay, I understand it. But why did it continue into the 70s? That's my only question. Can't understand. All right, I totally understand that in the 30s and 40s. I got it. Maybe even into the 50s. That's fine. But continuing into the 70s with Jello recipes. Peter in Decatur said, right now I'm going through a box full of recipes. One I pulled for this discussion is entitled The Seal Test Food Advisor for Lent 1938. Recipes and menus developed in the Seal Test Laboratory Kitchen, Radio City, New York. On the back of the booklet it says, listen in, Seal Test Rising Musical Star Radio Program, NBC Red Network. All right, finally, last one. Esmeralda, it's the perfection salad. It's absolute perfection. All you got to do is look at it to know, right?
Oh, of course.
What does perfection look like? Coleslaw trapped inside a large tower of Jell-O if McCall's Great American Recipe card collection from 73 is to be believed. Again, 1973. No need for the giant Jell-O. There's no rationing going on in 1973. Throw in some coleslaw into some Jell-O, and it's perfection. It's the perfection salad. Esmeralda, are you going to make this for V?
You know, I'm looking at the actual recipe.
Uh-huh.
It's not that bad.
Yeah?
Because it's just the Jell-O, but then you use, like, apple juice, lemon juice, vinegar, which, I mean, you kind of do for a coleslaw.
Yeah,
so.
But why the
it's
Jell-O?
It's just in a goo.
It's just in the goo. It's in the goo. I don't need the Jell-O goo. All right, we're going to take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and when we come back, I'm going to do a quick three-question personality quiz for Esmeralda and Dan, and I'll explain it all coming up.